Well, you've been in this series for the past couple weeks, and I guess it's a couple weeks left, Four Needs of Every Christian Man, which I think is a really good topic, a really good thing to talk about, because if you think about it, oftentimes we think we need a whole lot of things that we really don't need. Oftentimes we think we need a whole lot of things that really are nothing more than wants, right? I mean, how many times have you talked to maybe your spouse or a friend about that boat that you really need, you know, about that new truck that you really need? Anybody have truck envy out here? We were talking about truck envy earlier, Gary and I. You know, you see somebody with a truck and you're like, I need that truck. They don't need that truck. Or if they have another truck, they could give me one of those trucks, right? There's oftentimes in our life where we think we need things that really are wants. They're not needs. But God has been so clear in His Word, and He's clear about so many things in His Word that men, all people, but especially men, I would say, need in order to have a greater relationship with Him, a greater relationship with others, and really to grow closer to Him. And we've been talking about that, but tonight what we're going to talk about, as Gary alluded to, is the reality that every man needs a band of brothers. Every Christian man needs a group of close men that they are close with and in relationship with. Every man needs that. And the reality in our world today is that while that is a need that we all have, while it is a need that if we were honest with ourselves, even though we might avoid it, even though we might shy away from it, it's something that is needed more now than maybe ever before, because we're living in a time that is becoming increasingly isolationism, if you will, right? We have the Declaration of Independence. We're Americans, we love independence, but if we're not careful, that independence will turn into isolation and thinking individualism, to where I can accomplish everything I need on my own and I don't need anyone else to help me accomplish it. Or maybe you tend to not think you need other men in your life, or you shy away from other men's influence in your life, even though you might know that you need it, because maybe your dad kind of had that mantra or had that ethos about him, to where he's like, I'm going to do it on my own. I don't need anybody else. I don't need another man. I need to provide for my family. And you've seen that, and that has influenced you. Maybe you realize that you struggle connecting with other men because you think that you're connecting with them digitally, because we live in such a digital age where we're connecting over social media and online through email and in digital ways. But the reality is that so often you can have 500 friends on Facebook, but then get stranded on the side of the road and not have one man to call that would actually come and help you in a time of need. We have this pseudo connection that's going on, but really the studies are showing that people, and not just people, but men even, are lonelier than ever, are depressed more than ever, are sad more than ever, feel a state of disconnectedness more than ever. Loneliness and social anxiety are at an all-time high, and studies have shown that less than half of all Christians ever even spend time with other believers to grow in their faith. Think about that. Less than half of all Christians ever spend meaningful time, face-to-face time with other Christians to actually grow in their faith. We're living at a time where isolation is kind of the name of the game. We can do everything from our home. We don't even have to go to the grocery store anymore, right? We can order our groceries online, show up, have very little interaction with the person that brings our groceries out, put it in our back, and then just go. I remember hearing a story not too long ago of this guy who, he's a pastor, and he was sharing this story about, there was this guy that went to go get Chinese food. I don't know if any of y'all like Chinese food. Man, I'm by myself. That is depressing. Let me tell you something. If you don't like Chinese food, you need to like Chinese food, because there is a favorite Chinese place that I have, and I need you to go there so it stays in business. Not that you really need to go. It's busy all the time. It's called China One, John Moore in Bloomingdale. Fantastic. If you want good Chinese takeout, you got to go check it out. But he was telling this story about this guy that went to a Chinese restaurant, Chinese takeout. And he said he went there, and picked up his Chinese food, and there was another guy that came near him, and he picked up his Chinese food. And they kind of looked at each other as if they knew each other, but they didn't say anything to each other, because it was almost like each of them were like, I don't, you've ever been in that situation where you think you know somebody, but you're not sure, and maybe you don't want to be awkward in the moment, so you don't say anything. And so neither of them said anything. They got back in their cars. They started driving. One of them pulls into their driveway, gets out. The other one pulls into his driveway, right beside him, gets out. And they look at each other and they realize, I knew you from somewhere, right? You're my next door neighbor, right? And the reality is, so often, that's our story too. We don't even know the people that we physically are close in proximity to because we're so often walking around with our heads down on our phones or we're so busy with all the things that are going on. Or, I mean, think about it. Houses aren't even built with front porches anymore, right? We used to have houses built with front porches, and at night you would go out and rock on your front porch or swing on your front porch or wave at the kids playing outside. Well, the kids ain't playing outside anymore, number one. And number two, we have garage doors that we show up home from work. We're tired. We go in. We shut the garage door, and then we go to our fenced-in backyard to where we don't have to talk to anybody, right? There's this need that every Christian man has to be connected, to be a band of brothers. But so often in our culture is fighting that, and we succumb to it if we're not careful. But the one main reason that I would argue that we need, and every Christian man needs, relationship with other men is because that's what we were created for. That's what we were created for. If you know the story, if you've read at least the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, that God created the heavens and the earth. God created animals and the earth and the sky and the trees. And he created you and he created me. He created people. And the first two people he created, Adam and Eve, but he created mankind in his image, Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And the thing that's always struck me about that is that not dogs, Lord knows, not cats, right? Not trees, not grass, not the sky, but people, humanity, he created in his own image. And to be created in God's image means a whole lot of different things, and we could spend a whole 10 weeks talking about what that means and the reality of it. But the big thing I want to make sure that we walk away with today is that to be created in the image of God is to be created in the image of a relational God. Is to be created in the image of a God who's created you with a capacity for a relationship with him and with other people, because the God of the universe is in relationship, Father, Son, Spirit, with himself. And to be created in God's image means that he has created you with a soul, a piece spiritually of you, is the truest piece of who you are. And you've been created to connect with the God of the universe. But not just that, to connect with other people. Why does it matter that even though we live in a world that's so disconnected and we live in a world that's so oftentimes fighting against connection, real connection, because of what it is that we see and the busyness that we have? Because you were created for connection. And it wasn't enough that you were just created for connection with God, but just one chapter later in Genesis chapter 2, before sin enters the world, this has always just blown my mind, that before sin entered the world, God called something not good, which if there's no sin, how can there be a category for anything not good, right? But in Genesis 2:18, we read that the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. So I will make a helper suitable for him." Not that it is not good for man to be lonely, as if man was unfulfilled spiritually in his identity. No, not that. But it's not good for man to be alone, a state of being, right? In relationship to other people. It's not good enough that there's just one of you. There needs to be multiple of you. And you could say, well, yeah. Well, obviously, he said in Genesis 1 to be fruitful and multiply. You can't be fruitful and multiply by yourself. You need an Eve. You need a woman to be fruitful. And I don't have to explain that to you guys, right? You know what I'm trying to say? However, if we think that that just goes to show that men were created for relationship with woman, I think we're reading a little less into it than we should. Or really pulling less out of it than maybe is there in the text. Because the reality is we were created for relationship. Sure, you could argue, sexually or romantically, but more than that, I would say we're created socially to be connected with other people. And I would argue with other men. Because what you know, I think, by virtue of you being here, is that there's something about connecting with other men in similar situations, in similar stages of life, in similar realities that helps you understand yourself better, that helps you understand and connect with God better, and helps you connect with one another better. And so it's not just that we need relationship with other people, but it really is that we need relationships with other men. And by doing so, we are living out what it is that we were created for, which is we were created for relationship.
But it's not just that we need a band of brothers or a relationship with other men because it's what we were created for. There's a greater reason as to why we need relationship with other men, why you need a band of brothers, brothers in Christ that are willing to come around you and support you and be with you. And it's really, if you want to say it like this, it's because of the consequences of not doing so. So often, I don't know about you, but when I grew up, I viewed the no's of God. Right, I viewed the commands of God as restrictive, that were trying to keep me out of the fun that all my friends were having, right? And it's like when I was told no to do something, it's like I wanted to do it because my friends were doing it and it looked like a lot of fun, like they were having a lot of fun. And I'm saying, well, I want to do that because I thought that God was just wanting to keep me out of the fun that other guys that my age were having. But see, that's believing the lie that Satan told Eve in the garden, right? God's holding out on you. You won't surely die, right? That's a lie that so often he wants us to believe. But the reality is what God has commanded and what God desires for us is to keep us from something that would harm us and to save us for something that is better. And when it comes to relationships with other men, that will make you better. And the consequences of not doing so are greater than the effort of connecting with other men. A verse that has always stuck out with me, I'm just going to look at two more verses in the book of Proverbs. It's an incredible book of scripture, as I'm sure you're aware. But Proverbs 13:20 says this, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for the companions of fools suffers harm." Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffer harm. Why does it matter that you have a band of brothers in Christ that are moving in the same direction that you desire to go? Because to not do so and to surround yourself with other men that have no desire for the things that you desire doesn't just mean that you will become like them. That's the interesting thing about this text. There's some symmetry there, but there's some non-symmetry as well. Look at it again. Walk with the wise and become wise. If I hang out with people that are wise, if I hang out with people and men that want to follow Christ, I'm going to become like them. But look at what the text says. But the companion of fools, well, isn't that interesting? It doesn't say becomes a fool. Now, it's obvious that that's what's going to happen, but the text doesn't say that. The text says suffers harm. That if you avoid, we could argue, Christian brotherhood, if you avoid walking with the wise and going in the direction of those who are heading in the direction that deep down you want to go, if you avoid that or if you neglect that for whatever reason, it will cause harm to your life. If you go with fools, if you go with those who want nothing to do with Christ and you go of that way, then you will suffer harm that comes from doing it. And here's the thing. I think we could all be honest with ourselves and say, yeah, I can raise my hand and tell a harm story. Right? I can tell a story of when I knew the right way to go. I knew the group of guys to surround myself with, or maybe I didn't know, but I had a good feeling that that was probably the guys I needed to surround myself with, but I was over here and I made some poor choices that didn't just make me like them, but it made me suffer harm. I'll never forget a guy when I was in high school, and he was a football player, and he was good. He was an athlete, and he was so good. Like, he was Sunday good, all right? He was going to play on Sundays. I mean, he was NFL good. All the schools were coming. I mean, you would see these big-name schools come to our high school, and you always wanted them to be there to see you, and they never were. They were there to see this guy, right? Because he was a freak. I mean, he was like 6'5", like 320, and ran like a 4.8 40. I mean, he was a freak, and he was incredible. But this guy surrounded himself, and other people came around him that drug him down. And he went off to college on a full scholarship and was home in 6 months. For making poor decisions. And now he's back in my hometown, you know, not doing what you would hope. Not just not in the NFL, but making poor choices. And it wasn't that he was a bad guy. It wasn't that he didn't desire something greater for his life, but it's the principle that who you surround yourself with will influence you. You cannot escape that. That's not just a message for middle school boys and high school boys. That's a message for every single man that's breathing today. Whoever you surround yourself with, they will rub off on you. They will impact you, be that good or be that bad. And if they are good and head in the direction of Christ, then guess what? You'll become not only more like who they are, but you'll become more like Christ. But if you surround yourself with men, if you surround yourself with people If you avoid that Christian band of brothers, then the harm that could befall you, and I don't tell you this so that, okay, so I should find a good group of men to avoid things. Well, in one sense, yeah, maybe, but in another sense, you could look at it as maybe God has created me for relationship in such a way that he's created me to have a band of brothers around me, that they would be around me to support me and to move me in the direction that God desires for me to go. If you want to know where you'll be 5 years from now, look at your five closest friends. If you want to know where you'll be 5 years from now, look at your five closest friends and ask yourself this hard question: is where they are and who they are where I want to be and who I want to be? Are the men that are closest to you, are those the men that you want to turn into, and are they where you want to be? Because make no mistake, you can have the desires of all great things, but if you surround yourself with your closest friends, your closest closest guys around you that are not following Christ and not pursuing him, they will influence you. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't reach out to people that are far from God. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't be evangelistic and connecting with other men. You absolutely should be. But for those brothers around you, those men that you would say, okay, I want them to be close to me, are they who you want to be? Because if you're not careful, you'll wake up 5 years from now and realize that you aren't who you wanted to be, and you aren't where you had hoped to be. But it's not just that. It's not just that you need to do an inventory of your life and your relationships, I would argue, but we also have to ask, okay, not just what we can avoid by not walking with the wrong men, but what can we gain by being with the right men? I love Proverbs 27:17, a verse that if you've been to any men's event in your life, you've probably heard this verse: as iron sharpens iron, so one person or one man sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. David believed that. You know, David had a man in his life that was close to him named Jonathan, who he made a covenant with. And you may know the story where they made a covenant, and they, in 1 Samuel 23, David was being pursued by Saul, but Jonathan came to him to promise him that he'd be for him, that he would be with him, that he would support him. And the reality is we all need a kind of Jonathan in our lives, right? But more than a Jonathan, I think we need three categories of men in our lives that can serve as that iron sharpening iron. Because when iron sharpens iron, iron can only sharpen other iron if there's one piece of iron that's a little sharper than the other, right? And so for iron to sharpen iron, I think there's three categories of men that we need in our lives when it comes to this idea of relationship with other men. Number one, I believe we all need a mentor. We all need someone that's a little bit further ahead of us that's pouring into us. We all need someone that's a little bit further ahead of us that's pouring into us. We all need in our life. We all need a mentor. We all need someone that's gonna hold us accountable and challenge us, and someone who's gonna be okay with us being transparent with and real with, so that they can be transparent and real back to us. Because as you know, we need equal measures of both truth and grace in our lives to become fully who God desires for us to be. If you have somebody that all they do is give you grace, then they might just be enabling you and making you feel good, but they're leading you to hell, right? I mean, you could go that far, right? But if someone's giving you all truth and no grace, then it might feel like, man, I appreciate the truth, but it kind of hurts like a hammer, and I wish you would just kind of leave me alone, right? That's not somebody that you're close with relationally. You need that full measure of truth and grace. And in the context of relationship, when someone's a little bit further ahead of you in a mentor relationship, that can be iron sharpening iron in your life to help develop you into who God would have you to be as a man. In your band of brothers, you need a mentor. You need, like a Paul was to Timothy in Scripture in the New Testament. For me, growing up, I had a guy, and his name was Stacy. I was a freshman in high school. I was going in a lot of different directions. Didn't really know where I was going and what I was doing. My parents had visited this church. He was a youth pastor at the time at this church. And while he was there, he was only there for a short time when I was there, but I went to summer camp with him and made a connection with him. And then he moved off to another church. Freshman year. 3 years goes by. I make some not so great decisions, due in large part to the people that I had surrounded myself with, and I was doubting a whole lot about God. I didn't know what I believed about God and what God believed about me. I didn't know if God had forgotten me or if God had abandoned me based on the decisions that I had made, and I didn't know who to call. I know who to call, because at this point in my life, I was pursuing sports. I was not pursuing God foundationally to my life. We weren't plugged into a church, and I wasn't plugged into a youth group. I didn't have anybody. Picked up the phone, called him, and he answered to my surprise. Met me at a restaurant, and in that moment, we rekindled our relationship, if you will, and that was, what, 15 years ago, and he's still in my life today as a mentor, as someone that I call, as someone that I look to, as someone that I trust in, as someone that I can be real with, as someone I can be transparent with, as someone who, when I've made mistakes, I can go to him and not confess as if I need to confess to him and not God, but someone that can pick me up and say, hey, you messed up, but this is where you need to go. Someone that can be honest with me. And the reality is we all need someone like that in our lives. And everyone can find someone who's a little bit further ahead of you. If you think there's no one further ahead of you, you may need to watch yourself, because you might think that you've arrived and none of us have arrived, all right? We all need a mentor. We all need someone ahead of us. Secondly, we all need a mentee. We all need a mentee. We all need someone we're pouring into. We all need a disciple, someone we're discipling, someone that we're pouring into. A mentor can hold us accountable and challenge us, but a mentee is someone that will cause us to mature, because if you've ever taught someone anything, if you've ever mentored someone, if you've ever poured into someone, you better make sure that you know what you're talking about, or if you don't, in your preparation to pour into them, it will train you up, and in that relationship of that ironing, sharpening iron, you will be sharpening yourself as you seek to sharpen another. We all need a mentor. We all need a mentee. But finally, and maybe most importantly, especially for many of us in here, we all need a true friend. We all need a mentor, a mentee, and a true friend. A true friend is someone who's just there for us. A true friend is someone who you can call and you're not looking for anything from them, and they're not looking for anything from you. There's no quid pro quo. There's no expectation of a disciplee or a discipler relationship. It's just someone where you are there, you're side by side, and you want to encourage one another. And when it comes to life, I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of discouragement in life, right? It's not hard to find discouragement, right? It's really not. It's not hard to find discouragement. I mean, just turn on the news. I don't recommend it, but if you turn on the news, you know, if you still read the paper, I don't know anybody, maybe you still read the paper, no offense, but most people get it online, you know, whatever you do, it's not hard if you just look out, if you just interact, it's not hard to be discouraged, but it might be difficult to find encouragement. And that's why we all need a true friend, because a true friend is one who will encourage us. A true friend is one who will hold us up. A true friend is one who will have our back when we haven't done anything for them and they're not expecting anything from us, but they're just there to be an encouragement to you. And we all need encouragement. There was a guy at our campus at Apollo Beach who they started coming to our campus very beginning of this year. And I remember when he and his wife moved to our area. And they moved in, and I remember meeting them, and they were just a sweet couple, and they started greeting at one of the doors. And they were greeting at one of the doors and just, you know, welcoming people, and I was just struck by the reality. Man, they just moved here like a month ago, and they didn't wait to be asked. Man, they just jumped in and said, where can I serve? It was just awesome, right? And they started serving and just greeting people, and they just took that seriously. And it wasn't long, about a month or two, they came up to me after one of the services, and Richard was his name, and he said, hey, Matt, I do this monthly email to a bunch of people, and I just call it, you know, whatever that month is, encouragement. So February, encouragement. March, encouragement. And he said, I just find a passage of scripture, the word of God. I post it on the email. I do some exposition on the text, and I just send it out and give some encouragement. He said, would you like to receive that? And, you know, when someone asks you, you know, I get a lot of crazy emails, but when somebody asks me that, I'm like, well, yeah, I could, you know, sure, I'll use some encouragement. I didn't know what to expect, right? I didn't know what to expect. But the first one that I got, I read, and I'm like, man, this is pretty good. And then March came around, and I was like, man, this is pretty good. And then April came around, I'm like, man, this is really good, right? And then May came around, and I got to where I started to look forward to those emails, because he put a lot of time into it, a lot of effort into it, and he had one goal. Encouragement. Encouragement. That was it. He didn't expect anything from me. I never asked him to encourage me. That was, man, he just wanted to encourage people. And in August, just this past, you know, month and a half ago in August, he went in for heart surgery. And he didn't make it through heart surgery. But you know the thing about Richard? He went to heart surgery, and he wanted to send out his September encouragement before he went into heart surgery because he knew there was a chance he might not make it out. And I got to do his funeral. And you know what I preached for his funeral? September encouragement. Because, man, his passion was encouragement, right? His heart was encouragement. And in the short time that I knew him, I regret I never got to know him better, but in the short time that I knew him, man, he encouraged me. And he made a difference in my life. And we can all make a difference in other men's life if we would simply just say, hey, man, I just want to encourage you. Because no one will ever turn down encouragement. And so my question for all of you men tonight is, do you have a group of men that you are regularly connecting with for accountability and encouragement? Do you have at least one man in your life who's either a mentor, an encourager, or someone that you're pouring into, a mentee that you're pouring into? If you have nothing else right now in your life when it comes to relationally with other men, then my prayer tonight is that if you're here and you're like, I don't have one man that I feel like I could call. I don't have one man that's a follower of Christ that could be a band of brother for me that I could call. Man, my prayer for you is that you just be honest at these tables, and I'm just going to go on record and I'm going to say that one of these men around this table will say, I'll be that for you. Is somebody willing to be that man for somebody else around the table? I think you are. I think you are. Last week we were at Disney, Animal Kingdom. You gotta love Disney when you have kids, you know? And so we went to Animal Kingdom, we're going on the safari, and we're going through, and the guide, it's funny, you see something new every time, and the guide says, over here are some type of antelope, I don't know what they are, some type of antelope, it looked good to eat, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, and it was so funny, I'll end with this, and he said, if you look at these, whatever they were, you see they're sitting in a circle, and he said, he said they all sit with their backs facing each other in a circle because every one of them is watching each other's back. We all need somebody to watch our back. We all need somebody to encourage us. We all need somebody to pour into us. We all need somebody to sharpen the dull edges off of us. And so my prayer for you all is that we might find that in other men. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for these men tonight. God, their presence here tonight communicates their desire to connect with other men. Their presence here tonight communicates to the men around them that they value you and they value connection with other men. And so, Father, I pray that if these men around the table are not yet connected with one another, or if they do not have another man that is in their band of brothers, God, that they might find one and commit to that tonight, because that's something every Christian man needs. It's what we're created for. And God, I know you want to sharpen us through that. And so, Father, might you use tonight's conversations, might you use these men's relationships around the table to grow them closer to you and to grow them closer to one another. And might we find what it is that so often we're looking for, which is you as our treasure, you as our hope, you as our joy, you as our fulfillment. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.